Brazil with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi and welcome to the 90th episode of Robots. I'm Jana, and in today's episode, our very own South America correspondent Priscilla Suarez is going to be talking to Professor Marcelo Becker from the University of São Paulo in Brazil about his work in the mechatronics laboratory. But first, let's have a look at the latest news in robotics.
US company Boston Dynamics has released a video of their Petman humanoid. The PETMAN, an acronym for Protection Ensemble Test Mannequin, is developed for the US Army to test chemical suits. It therefore needs to perform all basic movements of a soldier to test the suit's durability. The robot skeleton, shown walking, kneeling, and doing push-ups in the video, looks eerily human. The final robot will have a head, still lacking in the version seen in the video, but will still draw its power from a tether. However, even a tethered version could be useful for a wide variety of tasks beyond chemical suit testing. Think firefighting, for example. In other news, if you are a regular listener, you may remember that we reported on a viral YouTube video of two chatbots that were contestants for the 2011 Loebner Prize competition some 2 months ago. The Loebner Prize competition was held last week at the University of Exeter. However, in spite of their YouTube fame, neither the two chatbots nor any others managed to fool the judges into thinking that they were human, so no gold or silver medals were awarded. A chatbot called Rosette, developed by seasoned AI expert Bruce Wilcox, won the bronze medal and $4,000. To have a look at the video of Boston Dynamics' PETMAN robot, or to read the full transcript of the winning chatbot conversation, have a look at www.robotspodcast.com.
Marcelo Becker is an associate professor at the University of São Paulo in Brazil, and he's involved in a whole range of projects, from agricultural and educational mobile robots to creating safer, autonomous cars. He talked to our reporter Priscilla about robotics in Brazil and how new developments might improve lives.
Hi Marcelo, we're very happy to be covering robotics in South America. Tell us why you think robotics is important for Brazil.
Well, I think that robotics is very important because it can improve the quality of life of people, especially in Brazil, because the country is growing very fast and we need to find ways to develop new projects, new applications that can be safer for the human beings.
What areas of robotics are most interesting?
Yeah, this is a very difficult question because for sure I will tell you that mobile robots are the most interesting thing, but because this is the area that I work on. But if you think about the applications, there are so many interesting applications. Rehabilitation robotics is essential for improving the quality of life of the people. And we have also manipulations. It's very hard. I believe that all areas are important.
Is there a lot of research being done in robotics?
In Brazil, I cannot say that there's a lot of research. We are a small group, mainly because the robotic companies are from abroad. So it's hard to find a partner, a partnership with a company to develop research. But the Brazilian universities are doing a good job. There are some universities focused on underwater robotics, some universities focused on aerial robots, and we are trying to do our best.
What is the public opinion on the matter?
Yeah, in Brazil, I can say that the public is not updated with what is going on. The press is not giving that attention to this topic. And I imagine that the students are more updated than the general public.
You're the director of the Mobile Robotics Lab at the University of São Paulo. What are the goals and motivations of your lab?
Well, in our case, I can tell you that we are trying to develop systems that can improve the quality of life of people. We are trying to develop assistive navigation system for passenger cars. We are developing robotic forklifts. And we are trying to have partnerships with companies and to develop good projects focused on real applications.
Could you tell us briefly about some of the projects you have going on?
Yeah, as I tell you before, we have this autonomous vehicle. It's a partnership with a Fiat company. We have this robotic forklift that we don't have a company that build these systems in Brazil, but we have many Brazilian companies that would like to have something similar run in their companies. So we developed a small-scale robot so we can trace and we can prove that the algorithms are working. And we are also working on quadrocopters, helicopters. And this is a small project.
I know you have an exciting partnership with Fiat for your autonomous car, like you said. Could you tell us more about that project?
Yeah, this project started 3 years ago. Fiat company gave us a car. It's a Fiat Stilo, and we are making it autonomous. So we bought some sensors, and we are putting computers inside it. And we are trying to develop everything in our group. But we also have some partners from other universities. And the most difficult part in this project is that Fiat company doesn't have engineers to send to us, to work with us. In Brazil, they need to assemble the cars and sell the cars. This is their focus. So this is a big issue for us because Fiat is developing some similar projects in Europe, and in Brazil they can't do this kind of thing with us.
What do you hope to achieve?
First of all, we would like to have a kind of assistive controller that could help elderly people and people that have special needs to drive the car. So this controller could detect danger situations and take the control of the car, avoid an accident. This is our main objective.
How are you approaching the problem of autonomous driving?
Yes, as I said before, we are focusing more on the assistive part in the beginning. In a new future, I would say in 2 years, we are planning to have a full autonomous vehicle. But for the moment, I don't believe this is feasible in Brazil because we need more financial support and we need more students and engineers work on this project. So as we are a small group, we can't do it as fast as we would like to do.
When do you expect to see these autonomous cars on the roads?
Well, to be honest, I think that it will take time, maybe 10 years or more. The big issue is the cost of the sensors. At this moment, they are too expensive. And it's hard to believe that an automaker company can assemble everything in a car and sell this car, taking into account the sensor costs. So I believe that in the beginning, we have some assistive systems, and in 10 or 15 years, these autonomous vehicles will run on the roads.
You've also been working on agricultural robots. What will be the goal of this robot, and how will it help farmers?
Okay, this is a very interesting project that we are running in our lab. We have a partner that is agricultural vehicles company in Brazil. It's a Jacto company. And we hope that this robot will help us to develop a good precision agriculture. So the robot can take some samples of the soil, test the samples, and check if it's necessary to correct the soil to improve the productivity of the farm. So as in this project we have a partner that is a company, I believe that in a few years they can sell this as a good solution for farmers in Brazil.
Can you give us some more details about how the robot looks? What are its sensors and actuators?
Okay, this is a prototype, so it looks like a big tractor. It's like 3 meters by 3 meters high, and it's a huge, huge tractor. And when it comes to sensors, we have laser sensors to detect the profile of the land in front of the robot. We have a GPS, a good GPS, and we have a small manipulator below the robot, so it can take the samples. And all the robot is driven by hydraulic motors.
Have there been any tests so far, and what are the results?
Yes, we run some tests in a farm nearby our lab in São Carlos City. And up to now, we are testing the navigation controllers. So we give us a set of GPS points, and the robot is following these GPS points, performing a task.
I also wanted to discuss your autonomous forklifts for warehouses. What are these robots supposed to do?
Okay, we want to replace the regular forklifts with these robotic forklifts, because the drivers of these forklifts, usually they provoke many, many accidents inside the warehouse. And we would like to improve the security of the warehouse and the safety of the people that is around.
What devices did you put in them?
Yeah, we, instead of taking a real forklift, we decided to use a small scale one. So we developed this small scale forklift. We put some one laser sensor, 12 ultrasound sensors, a camera, and the onboard computer.
What are your biggest challenges with this task?
Yeah, this is a very interesting project, because we need to optimize the route. We need to control 4, 5, sometimes 12 robots at the same time, minimizing the time necessary to perform the tasks. We need to know exactly the position of the robot. We need to take the goods and put them in the right places in the right warehouse. So there are a lot of challenges in this task. And it's, in my opinion, it's a very good application of robotics.
What software was used to operate these robotic stackers?
Yeah, we are running everything developed in C++ in Linux system.
How well do robotic forklifts work in groups?
Yeah, this is a matter of having a good routing system. So the routing system can detect, it can preview everything that will happen in the warehouse, can detect possible collisions and possible problems, and we can avoid them previously. When the robot is running and a person is crossing in front of the robot, so the local navigation system that is inside that robotic forklift detect this person and avoid the collision. And if the route that the robotic forklift was planning to perform is blocked, the routing system must recalculate the path and send the new path for that robot.
Well, all of these projects are very interesting that you're developing in your lab. How do you see the future of robotics at your lab?
Well, we up to now we have four projects running at the same time. I mean, I would like to finish these four projects. Some of them will be like a never-ending story because we are always find new problems, new interesting things to do. And I like what we are doing now. We are doing some research on aerial robots and indoor robots and outdoor robots. I think this is too much work for us. So we keep doing like this.
And in Brazil, how do you see the future of robotics?
Yeah, this area in Brazil is growing up very fast. As I told you in the beginning, some years ago, only two or three universities were doing research on robotics in Brazil. But now we have more than 20 universities. And it's a pity that we don't have robotic companies in Brazil. This is a big issue for us because many good works that we do here, we need to find a partner abroad to see it working. And this is a big issue for us.
Well, it was very nice. Thank you for your interview. Thanks for having us at the Robots Podcast.
Thank you.
Robotics in Brazil is a rapidly growing field, with more and more students taking up the subject. Marcel de Senadalagnol, a student at the University of São Paulo, was one of the organizers of a robotics competition at Semetron in São Carlos, which aimed to get undergraduate students involved in hands-on robotics.
Hi, Marcel. Welcome to Robots.
Hi, Sabine. It's great to be here.
I had a great week in Brazil at Semetron and was really impressed by your robotics competition. What was the motivation to organize this competition?
Well, we feel there's a certain lack of hands-on working with robotics in our mechatronics engineering course. So the main focus of the competition is freshman year students. It's great to actually provide them with this experience. And also, it's open for anyone interested. So many people who are interested in robotics but can't access any kind of robot-related activities, it provides them with this experience, which, from what we've heard from them, is great. It we get a really good return from them.
The students definitely did look very excited about using robots. Maybe you can explain what task they had to do.
Well, we inspired our task in the Fukushima power plant disaster. The robot had to simulate a rescue agent, which was supposed to retrieve people from inside a perimeter, which represented the power plant. And the people were represented by yellow boxes, and the radioactive material was represented by green boxes. So they had to retrieve as many yellow boxes as possible, and they could not retrieve green boxes. So the group was penalized for every green box they took out of the perimeter, and they gained points for every yellow box. So we could have up to six teams, but we had five teams of five people each this year.
And tell us about the robotic kits that were used.
Well, the robotic kits are from a sponsor, from Semetron. It's a company that is located here in São Carlos, and it's called PNCA. They provide us with a very, very good kit. It contains a whole set of sensors, color sensors, light sensors, touch sensors, temperature, presence sensors. So there's a wide range of challenges we can propose for them to accomplish, because the material can comprise a large number of tasks. Apart from that, they have programming module, which is the brains of the robot, which you program for whatever behavior you want it to have, and motors for it to move, wheels, and a set of metal pieces with different shapes. So you could shape your robot in any way you wanted. For example, usually they placed the light sensors in front of the robot so they could sense the perimeter. Also, the kit has a didactic programming language included. So it's suitable for... It's actually... The kit is intended for high school students. Or... well, because of that, it's limited in some senses. You can't program it in any way you want. But it's great to see how it acts. Any person can access it. Even people who have never had any contact with programming in their lives.
And the nice thing was that they only had one day to do this, so they actually needed an easy-to-program robot to build this all up in one day.
Yeah. We started at 9 a.m. and the final set of tests was at 6 p.m.
Okay, let's go back to the Fukushima scenario. The students had to basically move these blocks or avoid these blocks. What were some of the challenges that the students had when making the robots for this task?
Well, the greatest challenge is dealing with the environment, which is not very well defined. So, which means they have to deal with the light intensity, for example, which is very important for the robot to function properly. The real challenge is trying to make the robot as independent of this kind of variations as possible. One example of a well-built robot, the color sensors, which were used to recognize the boxes, were usually placed facing down. It was placed higher than the box and facing down. So whenever the robot touched the box with the front, the color sensor could recognize the color that was there. The problem was, with the variation of light, it could not recognize very well whether it was the floor, which was black, or if it were green or yellow boxes. So one of the groups installed it facing forward. So it didn't have this kind of fluctuation and noise. And they could recognize the boxes a lot better than the ones who installed it facing down. So that's the kind of thing they have to worry most about.
Are those the ones that won the competition?
Yes, they were. and they did a very interesting thing too. Since the programming module is rectangular, so it's very easy to assemble a small car with it. You can set the two wheels on the sides, and that's enough for it to drive. The problem was, since they had lots of sensors to install, the robot got too long and it was hard to control. So what they did was assemble the robot facing upwards so that they could reduce the length of the robot. And that made it a lot more controllable, in a sense.
I was wondering, if you had to reorganize a competition now, what would be your ideal robotic kit, or maybe a cool task that you'd like these robots to do?
Well, the only thing that I'd have to add to these kits would be servo motors, because this one didn't have any. And since the environment is not very well defined, anything you can do which is more precise than a normal motor, for example, is a huge difference. So they take a long time to actually see their programming and their robot function properly. Usually they could only effectively retrieve boxes from inside the perimeter after the second or third set of tests. So if we had servo motors to attach to these robots, we could have a larger set of tasks we could accomplish with that, and it would be easier for them to see their work, their programming working properly. Since servo motors are a lot more precise than the robots they use for the wheels, for example, it's more visible to see what you're intending to do.
What do you think? Were the students happy? Do we have any future roboticists in those groups?
Well, the feedback we got was great. They all enjoyed it, even though it's, well, something which is very common in robotics. It took a very long time to actually see any kind of result. They could only see it in the end, but they were very excited about actually building a robot, doing things from scratch. And even though the result wasn't everything they expected, they were very pleased with the competition. I think some of the freshman year students who were most excited about that might join robotics groups in São Carlos, for example. The university is just about to open a robotics department, a robotics center here in São Carlos. So it's a great opportunity for people to actually see it and become interested with this kind of thing. And who knows, maybe some of them will become great roboticists.
Excellent, Marcel. Well, thanks a lot and congratulations on the excellent competition.
Oh, thanks.
And that's it for today. We would love to hear about your thoughts and comments on our website at www.robotspodcast.com or via email at info@robotspodcast.com. Thanks for listening and hope you'll tune in again next time. Goodbye. Visit Brazil with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.